Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Third and King podcast, our first episode of the 2025 season. Today I'm going to be talking about some predictions. It is prediction season. I like to do this every year where I make some predictions, not that I think they'll actually come to pass, but just more of I have a strong take on individual players or something that might happen, and if things are kind of going in that direction, then I would chalk that up as a win. I'm first going to go over last season's predictions, which were filled with a bunch of losses. So, we'll take some time, go over last year's predictions. We'll make some predictions for this upcoming year. First, though, some news just came out. First and foremost, Gerard Encarnacion broke his hand, or I guess his finger, yesterday. So he's going to be out for, you know, at least 4 weeks, probably closer to 6 to 8 weeks. And that is a bummer. He looked pretty solidly in the fourth outfielder slash DH, maybe even pick up some time at first base. He looked pretty prime for that. You know, he hits the ball very hard. He is a really high exit velocity guy, and he looked kind of prime to have a good season in a limited capacity. And then that happened. You know, the silver lining is that this basically solidifies a spot for Luis Matos. He probably would have made the roster to open the season anyways, based off of their other options, but I think this gives him a pathway to everyday playing time instead of just strictly platooning with Mike Yastrzemski in right field. Now between the three outfield spots, DH and first base, they've essentially got six players instead of seven, so it's much easier to cycle players in and out to keep them fresh, based on the handedness of the pitcher, and so on and so forth. And that's not even to mention the fact that Jung-Hoo Lee is still not playing in spring games because of a back issue. I think if Lee were to miss an extended period of time, that they'd want Grant McRae to take that spot just because he's the best defensive center fielder that they have. If it was a shorter term thing, I actually think they'd probably just suck it up for, you know, a few days or a week and have Matos play center. But we'll have to see how that all shakes out. So, again, bummer for Encarnacion. Probably makes things a lot easier for them to keep Matos on the roster instead of having to consider whether to option him just to have him getting every day at bats instead of just strictly platooning. So that's a bummer. Also, Kyle Harrison and Keaton Wynn were both optioned. Keaton Wynn, not a surprise. He is coming off an injury from last year. I don't know if their plan is to have him stretch out to start. I think he'd be really deadly as a short inning reliever because he's got high velocity and just a deadly splitter. You know, guys essentially with two pitches tend to work out better as relievers. He doesn't really have a really defined third pitch, so that's tough. I think they're probably planning on seeing if he can stick as a starter, but we'll see. And then I think a little bit more surprising, though not terribly surprising based on how this spring has gone, is that Kyle Harrison was optioned. I don't think this is any indictment on his skill. There were reports coming out that he got sick right at the beginning of camp and that he's basically just behind. He's not quite as stretched out as the other guys and maybe doesn't have the velocity back yet because he lost something like 15 pounds or something from being sick, which is rough. Now, that being said, Landon Roop and Hayden Birdsong have both outperformed him this spring, so it was going to be a possibility anyways, and I'll be curious to see how the Giants decide to figure out that fifth rotation spot, because at least right now it looks like Webb, Verlander, Ray, Hicks, and then the fifth spot between Birdsong and Roop, and both have looked really good this spring, so we'll see how that goes. I don't think they want to put either of them in the bullpen because they want them to continue to be stretched out as a starter, but it would be hard to justify sending either of them to AAA based on the performance. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But again, just kind of coming back to Harrison, I think he has been outperformed this season by those two, as I said, but I don't think his optioning is any sort of indicator of where the organization feels about him. I think they're still very high on him. I think it was just he's a little behind because he came into camp a little sick. So basically being optioned to let him build back up, and hopefully we'll see the guy that we saw flashes of in 2023. And honestly, he had some pretty good starts last year too. You know, the overall numbers weren't great, but they weren't bad either. So we'll have to see how that all shakes out. Anyways, on from the news, and we'll review quickly the predictions I made last season. As I mentioned, most of these are pretty bad misses from my part, but my first one was actually on Kyle Harrison. So speaking of, I predicted he would have 200 strikeouts. You know, I thought if he basically made 30 starts, he'd probably be close to that. He ended up with 118 strikeouts, but he only made 24 starts because he did miss some time doing an injury. So big miss on that, but I'm still bullish on Kyle Harrison. Okay, next up, we'll just go rapid fire. Logan Webb wins the Cy Young Award. Didn't end up in the top three. So again, this is a pretty big miss. He had a pretty good season by all accounts. I think his changeup was a little bit more temperamental last year than we've seen in seasons past. He looked really good this spring, but yeah, last year didn't even finish as a finalist, so swing and a miss. Number three, Camilo Duvall gets a stray Cy Young vote. He did not have a good year, so that didn't go well. I think last year was probably not the year to predict that either, considering the top three finalists in the NL were very strong, but I think he's primed to come back and have a really strong season. I think, and we'll get to this later, but I think now that Ryan Walker has solidified himself in the closer role, that Camilo Duvall is going to be more of like that fireman type, almost like an Andrew Miller of the mid-2010s. We've seen where Camilo Duvall almost likes to have his back against the wall, and then he just kind of like buckles down and gets through it. So if he's less of come in the ninth because it's the ninth with a 3-run lead and nobody on base, and then he kind of isn't as focused as he needs to be or whatever the case may be, you know, now if you just say, all right, it's the seventh inning and somebody's in a jam and you need to come get them out of that jam, I think he's the one to do it because he can both get a strikeout or a ground ball if you need a double play. So I think he's going to be used in more of not like a structural eighth inning role, ninth inning role, but more of like a, okay, we're in trouble. We need somebody to get us out of this jam and, you know, let's bring Camilo in. So anyways, number four, continuing the theme of just bad predictions, I put Tyro Estrada goes 2020. Obviously his tenure with the Giants didn't go well. He was a good Giant, liked watching him play. Last year he was hurt, so that was unfortunate. I don't know really what happened after that, you know, with him getting sent to the minors and all that. That was all kind of weird. Hopefully he has a bounce back year this year in Colorado. That would be cool. Okay, next, Bryce Eldridge ends up as a top 10 prospect in baseball. Close enough. I think this is good. I think some publications have him in the top 20 or something like that. So, you know, I think he was in like the 80s last year or something like that. So again, just going with how I look at predictions, if things are trending in that way, I call it a win, and I think this is close enough. All right, next, the Giants sneak into a third wild card spot. Nope. Number seven, Luciano transitions to the outfield. I don't know if I was saying that would happen in the season. Obviously it has happened now, so we'll chalk it up as a win. I need some wins in this, so good job me. Number eight, Michael Conforto gets traded to open up a spot for Luis Matos. That didn't happen. Matos got called up for other reasons, played really well, pulled off, got sent down. But obviously, Michael Conforto did not get traded. I think part of that was that Michael Conforto got really cold right before the trade deadline, which I think kind of got in his head. I had this theory that once the trade deadline passed, that he would go on one of his kind of patented hot streaks. And sure enough, as soon as like the trade rumors stopped swirling, he locked in and had a good second half. So he's a good hitter. And if you look at his splits between home and away, like he just could not hit at Oracle. I don't know if it was a psychological thing. I don't know if it just completely was not a good park for his swing because he's a left-handed hitter. I don't know, but he's a good hitter. So anyways, number nine, Carson Wisenhunt makes an impact this year. That did not happen. Number 10, Jung-Hoo Lee leads the league in triples. I think that's an incomplete. He got hurt. I don't think he had any. I think he had one triple. I could actually look this up, but I'm not going to. I think he was just about to get going when he got hurt. Obviously, that's easy to say. Okay, number 11, we get the first 30-homer hitter since 2004. That didn't happen. Matt Chapman got kind of close, but yeah, it didn't happen. Okay, and then a couple bonuses. I thought J.D. Davis, after getting cut, would have a good season. He did not. He went to the A's, kind of had a good start, then cooled off, got DFA'd. The Yankees picked him up, didn't do well, got released. I was wrong. Okay, And then last but not least, the Giants signed Juan Soto after the 2024 season. This had kind of been a holdover from the season prior, I think, as every front office should be. But I think the Giants front office, when Zaidi was still there, thought that Juan Soto was the perfect fit for Oracle Park, the perfect hitter. And at that point, when I was making that prediction, I actually think Juan Soto was still somehow underrated. He's one of the best hitters of this generation, if not the best, and he's still only 25 years old. So I remember I had a bet with my friend where the over-under of his contract would be $450 million. And I took the over because I thought he'd probably settle in like the 550 range. I did not expect him to get, you know, 750 or 765 or whatever he ended up getting. So I think that combined with the fact that there was a change in the front office, I don't know if Farhan would have been able to convince ownership to spend $765 million anyways, but, you know, obviously that didn't happen. I wonder if it would have in an alternate universe, just because I think the way that Farhan likes to build teams is like, you know, Juan Soto's like perfect. So, I mean, again, I think every front office executive should be thinking that way because he's an incredible hitter, well on his way to being a Hall of Famer. So, okay, so that was all for 2024, and we will go back to 2025. So we're running this one back, and hopefully the back doesn't come back to bite me, but Jung-Hoo Lee will lead the league in triples. We're going to go for it again. You know, big contact guy, left-handed hitter. Hopefully he shoots a bunch of balls into triples alley. He's obviously got the speed, and we're just going to say he stays healthy and hits a bunch of triples this year, and that'll be fun. Okay, next, I'm going to say that the Giants will not break the 30 home run curse, and basically everyone else is predicting that they will. I don't think they will. I think they'll have a bunch of guys in like the mid to high 20s, which is fun. But somehow I think they'll still avoid the 30 home run threshold, which is just going to be funny. They're going to have another starting left fielder this year. Might as well keep them both going, you know. And then I already kind of touched on this, but I do predict that Camilo Duvall rounds back into form and becomes the fireman. Ryan Walker will retain the ninth inning duties. Camilo Duvall, you know, likes to pitch in high pressure situations. Those are not always the ninth inning. Those high pressure situations kind of get him comfortable. Focused is probably a better word. I think he has one walk this spring. Spring training stats are a little hard to keep track of, but I think he only has one walk. So yeah, hopefully we see him bounce back, because that bullpen's nasty. If he comes back, you know, if Ryan Walker continues what he's done, you know, you've got Tyler Rogers being his funky self. Eric Miller looks really good. They've got a lot of guys in that bullpen that I think could help them win some games late. All right, next, I'm just going to double down again, and I'm going to say Logan Webb wins the Cy Young Award. I think he's found his changeup again. I think he's added a cutter. I think he's going to learn a lot from Justin Verlander, and I think he's going to put it all together this year. He's going to probably lead the National League in innings, if not the major leagues in innings. And I think even though we saw a shift last year, and we have over the last few seasons where, you know, Paul Skeens was a finalist in Cy Young, even though he only threw 130 innings or so, I think that some people are going to push back and kind of help swing the pendulum back the other way and put an emphasis on innings if they're quality innings. You know, I think if Logan Webb ends up with an ERA just under 3 but leads the league in innings, he'll have a really strong case, even if Skeens or whoever it is, you know, has a lower ERA, more strikeouts per nine or more strikeouts per walk. I think if Webb's got a substantial innings lead, that he might finally take one home. Okay, next up, Lamont Wade Jr. leads the league in on-base percentage. This on itself is not that bold of a prediction, but what I mean here is that he'll have enough plate appearances to qualify to do so. So that means A, he'll stay healthy, which has not been easy for him to do over the past few seasons. And then B, will have enough plate appearances against left-handed pitching to keep him qualified for the on-base percentage title, quote unquote. I don't think he's going to play a ton against lefties, but I think he'll play enough where, you know, it won't disqualify him from, you know, sitting against every lefty or getting pinch hit for, you know, when a lefty comes in the game. So, and kind of along those same lines, we won't see Bryce Eldridge this year. And not because of anything he's done poorly or not because of, well, hopefully not because of an injury, although those are hard to predict. But if Lamont Wade Jr. is doing his thing in the leadoff spot and getting on base and you know, Wilmer Flores is getting spot starts against tough lefties and, you know, kind of being that guy he was a couple of years ago, because by all accounts, his legs are healthy again. You know, I think that they'll be a productive first base tandem, and therefore no one's mad about it. You know, Bryce Elders is going to have a strong year, but, you know, I think Wade and Wilmer will have themselves a strong year, and there won't be a, you know, a clamoring to call Eldridge up. So, all right, next, I'm going to name Third and King's official minor leaguer of the year. Last year, or the year before, was Tyler Fitzgerald. I think before that was Casey Schmidt. This year, I'm picking Sabin Ceballos. And I think he's not really ranked highly in prospect rankings or anything like that, but I think he's going to have a really strong year to push himself up those prospect rankings. He was acquired in the Jorge Soler trade, which was thought of to be a salary dump, and I mean, maybe it was, but after they acquired him, he went to Eugene in high A and had a really strong year. He's had an incredible spring training so far. He's kind of opening some eyes at third base. So I think he's going to be the minor leaguer to watch that at least right now is a little under the radar, though he has opened some eyes here in spring training. So Sabin Ceballos. Okay, next, the Giants lead the majors in pitching war. Their starting rotation is deep. And as I mentioned earlier, their bullpen seems really strong. In fact, Eno Saris just recently ranked the Giants as, I don't know if it's his favorite bullpen or what he thinks is going to be the best bullpen, but basically had them ranked first. And then, you know, we've kind of already touched on the depth of the rotation. They've got 7 or 8 guys that I think are all solid quality major league arms, if not better. And you need that. You know, somebody's probably going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get tired. So you need the depth behind your starting five. You know, Robbie Ray looks incredible this spring. You know, obviously it's spring training, so caveats aside, but he added a changeup that he learned from Tarik Skubal. Justin Verlander looks healthy and good. If I think Logan Webb's going to win the Cy Young, that's going to be because of a lot of bulk, and bulk pitchers tend to get you a lot of pitching war. You know, so I think just all those things combined that I think they end up leading the majors in pitching war. I also think that they have a really strong defense, which, you know, some metrics will try and weed that out as far as defense is concerned, but some of them don't. But I think regardless, having a strong defense behind you is going to just help out. So Giants lead the majors in pitching war. Okay, next, just the eternal optimist in me. The Giants will finish third in the division, but they'll sneak into a wild card spot. Even if they're just contending for that up until the final week, I'd be happy. I just want interesting baseball all season. So we'll see how that goes. Next, I'm going to say that Sam Huff does his best 2024 Joey Bart impression. So obviously, Giants signed Tom Murphy before last year, kind of making Joey Bart the odd man out. Joey Bart went over to Pittsburgh and had a really solid year. It wasn't great, but it was really solid. And I think Sam Huff basically fills that role for the Giants this year. And then more importantly, I think he keeps Patrick Bailey fresh and healthy and therefore productive into the second half. I'm going to say that they combine for like more than 8 wins above replacement. If Sam Huff can get 1.5 or 2, and Patrick Bailey won the Gold Glove and is so valuable behind the plate. Even as a below average hitter, he was worth like 4 WAR. So if he can keep up his hitting in the second half, which he hasn't been able to do yet, but if he can and finishes with an above average offensive season, I think all of a sudden he's an extremely valuable player. And I think Sam Huff, you know, being a right-handed hitter, you know, we'll spell Bailey pretty often against lefties and will help keep Bailey fresh, and therefore they'll combine for an extremely valuable season. Okay, next we're going to talk about Marco Luciano. I think he gets called up, I don't know, midway through the year, and I'm just going to say he mashes the rest of the season. One of the people kind of in his way to playing time is already hurt in Encarnacion. Obviously, Encarnacion should be back in 6-ish weeks. But somebody else by then will get hurt, and he'll come up, he'll force his issue, and we know he can hit. So if he can just put it all together, I think he's, even though he's lost some of that prospect shine, I think he's still very talented. And then last but not least, I'm going to say that the Giants somehow acquire a left-handed hitter. The reason I say this is because they are so incredibly right-handed right now that I feel like they just need a left-handed hitter in there somewhere. So if I, you know, I did say somehow acquire, I mean, that basically means that they have to do it via trade. The other way, I guess you could say that they acquire one, quote unquote, is to promote Bryce Eldridge. But if they promote Bryce Eldridge, it would probably be at the expense of LaMontway Jr. if he gets hurt or something like that. So LaMontway Jr. being left-handed, it wouldn't add a left-handed bat. So I guess what I'm saying is I think the Giants trade for a left-handed hitter at some point this season. Okay, that's all I've got. I don't know how often I'm going to be doing these this year, but I hope you enjoyed, and I hope the Giants have, if not a successful, at least an entertaining baseball season. So, okay, catch you on the next one. Check us out on thirdandking.shop or on social media at thirdandkingshop. Thanks.